If your Bible is open this morning, we're going to be in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And before I had left for a while, we've been studying out of chapter 18. And I want to tell you a couple of things real quick. Need to bring back to your attention. In Matthew 18, the whole chapter, Jesus is not teaching multitudes and crowds. He's teaching His disciples. Those followers of Jesus that were connected to Him. And He wanted them to understand their connection to Him and their connection to God and their connection to one another. And there were three major lessons that He has taught in this one chapter. And the first thing He taught in the first 14 verses, He talks about being converted and becoming like children. Those that are one with Him. And in that connection, He warned the disciples, and it would warn us, your example that you set for those converted to Jesus, if you cause any of them to stumble by your example, that is a tragedy. There is nothing more contemptible in the eyes of God. There is nothing more condemning than to have a person connected to Jesus and you, through your attitude, through what you say, through the example that you lead, causes someone to fall away from Jesus. That was lesson one. And then He takes the disciples, or it would be you and I, and He said, let me tell you the second important lesson. In verses 15 through 20, sometimes brethren get in sin and they get ensnared by it. And you gotta help them. And you're to go to people, to your brothers, your sisters when they're in sin, and you try to get them to see that this sin is costly. And you try to win them back into fellowship with the Lord. You try to encourage them back. And if they end up and they don't care, if they end up and they're not going to listen, then you know what? They need to be treated as an outsider. They're not in fellowship with the Lord. They don't care to be in fellowship with the Lord. And they need to be taught that if you're going to hold to this attitude or these desires, you're not part of us. You see, what we're learning real quick, everything's not okay. Sometimes we're listening to the world so much that you just love, 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 love. Love involves discipline. And sometimes you got to discipline people. And especially if they're not right, people in sin are going to lose their souls. And church, we need to help them back. And then we come to the third lesson, which is this morning. And we find out the effects that forgiveness is to have on our heart. That people connected to God, people connected to Jesus, are a forgiving people. Let's begin together. Look at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to Him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. You know, when we talk about people sinning against us, there's a whole gamut of emotions that people work through. There's this condemning, there's this emotional setting of how you have hurt me. Getting through the emotions of people is extremely difficult, especially people that don't live by faith. There's a lot of problems. And so it's easily, when you've been offended, it's easily to get emotional at that person that offended you. And if you do that, there's not a lot that can be done to help you. And Jesus is trying to get them to see beyond. Here's Peter. And Peter hears all of these things about being converted like a child. They're the greatest in the kingdom of the God. He hears about winning back your brother to Jesus. And Peter is listening to all of these teachings of Jesus. And he says here in 21, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. How often shall he sin against me? That's the problem. To sin against Jesus, or to sin against another, I mean, someone sin against me. How quick are we to draw a line with that individual? Peter wants to know, where do we draw the line? And don't we want to know? I mean, I'm not going to let people hurt me. I'm not going to be a doormat. I've heard people say that. And so we get this emotional gamut going on with us, and you know, I mean, how quick do we draw lines with one another? You just look around. If someone sins against you, would you draw a line? 7 times? I'll let them hurt me 7 times? 22. Jesus said to you, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. This isn't a multiplication form. Jesus said, Peter, let me blow you away. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Every time. Every time. There is no limit except by you. And that's what Jesus is trying to get him to see. We're the ones that sets the limit. And let me ask you this morning. Aren't you glad there's no limit? Let me do it this way. What if God told every one of us, here's what I'm allowing in your life. 25 sins against me, your Father. What if God set the limit at 50? What if God set the limit that you sin against Him 100 times? Where in the world would you be? And by the way, and you don't show your hands, have you sinned against God in your life more than 100 times? And what do? We have to constantly, through Jesus Christ and His death, appeal to God, forgive me again and again. And sometimes, you know, it's a struggle. Sometimes, brethren, struggle with sin. I know not everyone has great struggles with it, but there are people among us this morning, they struggle against sin. Sin is powerful on them, and it wrecks havoc. There's people, we're weak people. We're people that fail and that falter and fail miserably sometimes. And you want God to put limits on you? And Peter says, how often? And Jesus says, it's not how often. It's unlimited. And you better be thankful to the Lord God of heaven, your Creator, your Maker, your Redeemer. You better be thankful that God doesn't put limits on you. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? What are you trying to do? 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Let me tell you about God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. You want to know the world God exists in? Jesus is about to point it out. And the only way he can get them to see it is that he has to use terms that we're familiar with. That's the only way we can see anything. And he said, let me tell you, here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is fellowship with God. This is what is going on. It's like a king. And all of a sudden, this king wished to settle accounts with his slaves. They're slaves of the king. 24. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, we're not going to break all this down. Let me just give you one idea, okay? 10,000 talents. A talent is a weight, all right? 10,000 talents. Well, let me back up. One talent of weight is worth, it's about approximately 6,000 times a daily wage. To put it in perspective, one talent is about 6,000 times what a person would make in one day. This slave was indebted to his master 10,000 times that. A massive debt. I was sitting in a study one time and I heard a person, this was when I was preaching in another place and they were having a class and a guy brought up in the class said, why in the world would a master, would a king, allow anybody to get that much in debt to it? And I thought, we're looking at this thing wrong. Why would you come up with that thought? Jesus is trying to show Peter. He's trying to show the disciples. He's trying to show us, the church. Let me tell you what it's about. It's like a king settling accounts. This slave of his owes him 10,000 talents, a debt like it's never been, and I want you to see what God is like. And he goes on to say, verse 25, but since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. He didn't have the means. He couldn't do it, he said. So what did his Lord say? I want you to sell him, his wife, his children, as slaves to someone else. You know what? You're about to be disjointed from this king. And you're going to be sold as a slave. You're going to work for someone else. And the wages that you get are going to come back to pay this debt. Oh. And it affects your family. And you lose your goods too. But look at 26 again. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. The only thing you can do is beg for mercy. That's it. And that's what he does. You know, and you know what? Look at 27. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. That Lord saw the heart of that slave. He saw that slave fall down and prostrate himself and he said, be patient. And what do you learn about God? He felt compassion. He said he released him and forgave him the debt. Who ate the debt? The king. The Lord. He personally took the debt that was owed him by another and he put it on his shoulders. He's compassionate. He released him. Oh. See, he saw the heart. An impossible debt and a Lord of great compassion. And you and I have the same thing. When you think of verses like Romans 6:23, For the wages of sin is death. That's the debt. That's the wage that you've worked for. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God said, I'll shoulder the wages that you've gathered through your sins. I'll shoulder that. I will forgive that. And you and I come trustingly and we're baptized into Christ. Jesus bears all of the debt that you've ever owed Him and He releases and forgives us because He's a God and a Savior of compassion. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven. It's like the Master that is compassionate, that forgives, and He is willing to go and shoulder your debt. But then He goes on in verse 28. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. I mean, I'm not going to get caught in this position again. No, I'm not going to go beg for mercy again. So I'm going to make sure I cover my back. And covering my back is, I find a guy that owes me 100 denarii. 3.5 month debt. You could pay this back. Work for a denarii a day. 3.5 months, you paid this one off. And he wants his money. And you know what he's working off of? He's working off of self. He's working off of all of that emotional trauma that comes with all of this. And he wants what's his. 29. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. One key word, unwilling. Notice who we're working with. A fellow slave. He's in the same household. He's on the same level. You got the King, you got the Lord, you got the Master, and this is a fellow slave. It would be like the way we treat each other within the church. Same thing. And so, what he wants, I want what's mine. The fellow slave says, be patient with me. I'll repay you. Same words that this other slave said. But the difference is, he said, he was unwilling and threw him in prison. Yeah, we're going to put you in prison and let you work prison wages, and I want to exact everything from you that I can that you work for prison wages. And what did this one slave want? I want justice. They mistreated me. They're indebted to me. I want justice. And that's what happens to people when they are hurt by another. They want injustice enacted. But something happens. Look at verse 31. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. One quick note. Unforgiving brethren have a drastic effect on the rest of the church. Oh, you count on it. When you have someone in the body of Christ that has an unforgiving spirit and an unforgiving heart toward another because of what they've done, I guarantee you they bring about a darkness and a blackness. They bring about an evil within because every time someone is unforgiving, every time someone is unwilling to forgive when someone has offended them, there is a blackness that sets on the soul. There is a darkness that starts encompassing them. That results in callousness. That results in a hardened heart. It's going to take you into places that you don't even believe. And it doesn't do it instantly. It's a process. And people that are unforgiven in the church, they're hard on the rest of us. Because they're bringing sin amongst the people of light. Don't you know that? And when people are unforgiven, you watch what they do. They go and talk behind your back to other people in the body. They spread their blackness. They spread their evil. They spread their death. And you have weak people in the church. They don't know what to do with it. But one thing you've done, you've tainted them, because now every time they hear something and they look at Carrie here and they've heard something about this against Carrie, now they've got a dark place against him. All the rest of these slaves, they saw what happened and they were grieved. They had to go report to the Lord. 32. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me." Now, notice the change. Notice in 32 what he calls that first debtor. "You're wicked." An unforgiving heart is a wicked person. And I say it from the pulpit and I say it in the presence of God. Anyone that holds to any resentments, an unforgiving spirit to another, is a wicked person. Because they're not part of the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not part of the kingdom of heaven, you're part of the kingdom of death and sin. And he calls it like it is. He said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me." And yet, here you and I are. And we come to Jesus and we've got sins multiplied many times over. And we've pleaded and we've pleaded. And Jesus has forgiven all of that. 33. "Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" Should you not? Let me tell you how to forgive someone that's hurt you. You deal with God. "Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" The same way. The same way. Church, hear it. The same way. Should we not have mercy the same way that we've been shown mercy? And God doesn't bring out a checklist and say, "You've got 100 shots at this deal in your life." No, He says, "You pleaded with me. Your sins were as high as heaven. They've been piled up for years and years. And Christ forgave them. God shouldered the debt." Should you not shoulder the debt that someone has done against you in the same way that I've done it to you? See, we have forgotten that our lives are hidden with Christ. We've forgotten. We've been immersed into Jesus and Jesus' blood covers us. And if the blood of Jesus covers us, what do you have to worry about? If someone dupes you, If someone hurts you, if someone says something to you, if someone takes advantage of you, God has my life. I don't have my life. My life is hidden in Christ. I've been raised from the dead. You can do anything you want to me because my life is beyond this world. And if you're an unforgiving person, you're going to lose your soul. I want you to know that. Because we're trying to help a brother or sister back into fellowship with God. Should you not also have mercy? In the same way that I've had mercy? You and I are who we are by the mercies of God. And then he, look at 34. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed. Now, I want you to know the Lord. We're talking about God here, okay? That's who Jesus is explaining. And I want you to notice carefully in verse 34. The Lord is moved with anger. We found back up in verse 32, he calls him, "You're wicked." And now the Lord is moved with anger, but I want you to notice, you remember when he pleaded, before he got to plead with the Lord about the debt? What did the Lord command him to do? To be sold over as another slave and his wife and children. Now that you've received mercy and compassion, he says in verse 34, hand him over to the torturers. We're not selling you and I as a slave. You're going to the torturers. And they're going to inflict pain until you pay this debt. How would you like to hear that? What moved the Lord? What moved God from becoming this compassionate, caring Father to this one calling the slave wicked, and now you go to the torturers? Because God had such mercy. God had shouldered such a burden of debt against him. And now this is what you think forgiveness is that you can have someone else in the body of Christ hurt you, you can have somebody do something, and you're mad and you're stewed, and I don't have to be here anymore, and I don't have to put up with this anymore, and I'm not going to be anybody's doormat, and our attitudes change, and we get black and dark and sick in our souls, and wickedness sets in, hate sets in, and we don't even realize how bad it is. And I'll turn you over to the torturers. And now we'll see how you like that. Oh, Peter. Oh, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Let me tell you what God's like. He's a God of unlimited mercy. And he's shouldered your debt over and over and over. And to not use his forgiveness for another person, that person is wicked. It's wicked. Oh, but a true child, a true worshiper of God, a true child of God, they take the mercy of God and use it. Well, I've known wives over the years that husbands have been horrible to them, and they stay in there. And they enact mercy toward their mate, their husband. And I've seen the same thing with husbands. I've seen it happen in people that have been mistreated badly. And you wonder, look how that person forgives. And you know what? Isn't that encouraging to see? Well, yeah, that's what the church is about. That's what God is about. That's what Christianity is about. Being merciful to others. And then he ends up, verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Jesus said, let me make the point clear so no one misses it. The very same thing that happened from this Lord to his slaves will be the very same thing that happens from God to those who claim him. If they're not forgiving. Oh, in church, unforgiveness, ill feelings, tear up the church. Because that's exactly what the devil would love to see. You've got to have a heart of compassion. One thing, and we'll close one more. Come over to Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. And the reason I want you to look at this is prayer. But Jesus adds something in Mark's account the other accounts don't put. And I want you to see the value. Why you have to have a tender, forgiving heart. Look at Mark 11, verse 25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions. Stop for just a second. I hope you're a prayerful people. I don't know what your personal life is. But I do know this. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them. When you pray. Now, I'll tell you this one. Generally, people that hold resentments against other people won't pray. But if you're a person that decides, well, you know what, I'm religious, I believe in God, I'm going to pray and ask God to help me. He says, you know what, if you've got anything against anyone, you better be searching it now because you're talking to a Father that has shouldered your sins on Himself and He's looking at you saying, are you going to use my mercy and compassion on others? If you will do that, I will be willing to forgive your transgressions. I will shoulder them myself. 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. You're headed to eternity with sins on your hands. And do you think anybody's going to be in heaven that has sin on their hands? You know, this is powerful. It's mighty. In church, you can't be a bitter, resentful person at anybody. Or you're wicked. You're wicked. And you need to know that. There's going to be people hurt you. There's going to be people speak evil of you. There's going to be people take advantage of you. But you know what? It's okay. Because my life is hidden in Christ. I'm safe and secure. It doesn't matter what you do to me. Because my Father's taken my life personal. And I stand whole and clean. And if you've hurt in any way, if you've been deceptive, if you've taken advantage, I want you to know that kind of behavior will cost you your soul. And I'm sure not going to hold on to a resentment. I want to help you. I want to help you get back to the Lord. I want to help you find Jesus. I want to help you to get over all of this emotional trauma that you think someone has caused you and start walking by faith. For the righteous live by faith. And I'm forgiven by faith. So, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Well, it's hard to do. Not if you face Jesus and you see what He's forgiven you. It comes real easy. It comes real easy. But if you're not dealing with Jesus, you're not dealing with God, you're not going to make it anyway. And so, church, I proclaim it this morning. As Jesus takes Peter, as He takes the rest of His disciples, and He said, this is it. We want people saved. We want you saved. An unforgiving spirit and heart is not a saved person. They're not even a part of God. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they try to convince you of. They're not with God. Because the kingdom of heaven is unlimited mercy. That's a child of God. Because they know what God shouldered for them. I pray you'll look at it. You go back and read it. You want to make sure your prayers are answered? You forgive. But if you're not a forgiving person, don't waste your time praying. Because God's not your Father. He's not responding to you in any way. You got to deal with the major issue. I pray the Lord will bless us. I pray He'll keep you. I pray you just let it in as we walk with Jesus this day.